Colin is the leader of River Church as a whole, all four congregations, and he's here to speak this morning. Colin, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. You got my slides, ladies. Thank you. We're doing a series on Acts, and now we're up to Acts chapter 4. So that's the kind of the background to my talk this morning. Thank you. And before I get into it, I just want to say that I was just reading the chapter 3 beforehand a few weeks ago, and it talks about obviously the healing that happened. Peter and John praying for the man who was born lame at the temple gates, and him being healed in the name of Jesus, and huge crowds gathering at the temple, and Peter preaching his heart out and telling them, "We're not special people, John and I. We're ordinary guys, but we follow an extraordinary God, a God who loves people." I want to declare that over everybody again this morning. I know Kerry's already declared it, but I want to declare it over each and every person sitting in this room. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care where you're going. I know that I know that I know that this morning the Father's heart is one of full of love for you, full of mercy and compassion towards you, plans to give you hope and a future. And so the crowd are gathered, and Peter preaches his heart out. And in the midst of his preaching, he just says something. He brings this phrase out. He says, "Repent, think again." Not this nasty religious word, but "think again, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Because that's God's heart, is to bring times of refreshing to every single life here this morning. Wherever we're from, whatever we face. But he's not going to muscle in. He waits for us to think again. He waits for us to invite him in. And then he brings those refreshings. And many of you know a little story that I told. Can I have my first slide, please? Many of you know that 6 or 8 months ago, I met a man at my son's nursery. And I'd never met him before, a tattooed guy, covered almost head to foot in tattoos. And I heard him telling some stuff about his life, which was tragic. Stuff going on, a couple of deaths. He hadn't been at work for a couple of years. His back was giving him so much pain. He was on so many drugs, he didn't know whether he was awake or asleep. And as I listened to this man, I just felt such compassion rise in my heart. I thought, God would want to do something for this man. So I just said to him, I said, "Look, I don't know you. Okay, but I've just overheard some of the story, and you know, I know there's a God in heaven who cares for you, and he'd want to do something for your situation. Can I pray for you?" And the guy said, "You know, yeah, I'm desperate, I'll try anything." So I prayed for him out in the car park there, and I didn't know if he was expecting me to, but I prayed for him in the car park, laid hands on him, and we then got into conversation at the end. Someone else joined us. I didn't have a chance to ask him how he was doing, but a week later he told me that as I was praying for him, he felt heat go through his back. And that day, his wife said, "You're standing differently. What happened?" And he said to me, "You've got magic hands. You know, you did to me last week, but whatever you did to me, my back started to feel better. My wife noticed it. My friends have noticed it. I'm starting to take less painkillers." I said, "I've got not magic hands, but there's a God who loves you. I told you that. He cares for you." And then, over the period of the summer, I met him again at the end, in the new term, and he said to me, "You know, ever since you prayed for me that day, our lives have got better and better. I've been waiting 2 years to see a specialist. I'm seeing a specialist now about my back. You know, my wife's family are recovering. You know, just things are starting to get better." He said, I don't know why. I said, I know why. There's a God who wants to bring times of refreshing. And a couple of weeks ago, he actually had an operation on his back, and I was invited by him to come and see him again and pray with him. And actually, I got to go and meet him in his home, which was lovely, him and his wife. And I learned that the operation went well, but he was in a lot of pain, and his wife was going for an interview for a job to take out admin for a career. And I came away after having prayed a little bit for them, and I just felt, I read that verse the next day, and I said, this is it. This is what God wants. So I texted them and said, "Look, you cried out to God last year, and now times of refreshing are coming. You know, I believe, God, you're going to heal better than you expect, and I believe that you're also going to get a great job. And a week later, in the car park, again, that thing, I saw them both, and they said, oh, we've been looking forward to seeing you, they said, because I want to tell you that my back is getting really well. The physios are amazed at the movement I've got already in my back. And my wife got that job she went for. You know, this is God's heart. This is God's heart. Why did I pray for them? What made me pray for them? And this is really what I want to talk about this morning. What made me pray for a stranger, introduce myself to a strange man I'd never met before and offer to pray for him in that way? Can I have that next slide, please? That's a gratuitous mountain slide. For anybody that knows me, I was in the Lake District last week. That's the Lake District last week. That's the second highest mountain in England, Helvellyn. And there was snow on the top, which is wonderful. Anyway, that's not the point of it. That's just something for you to marvel at as I read this passage from the Bible, from Acts chapter 4. Now, as they spoke to the people, that was the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. The Sadducees, they were Sadducees because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached Jesus, in Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, not gently, like I did to the guy in the car park, but quite roughly, and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and a number of men came to be about 5,000. Church growing rapidly in Jerusalem. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this miracle, this prayer, this lame man, born lame, healed? By what power have you done this? Then Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. He's quoting an Old Testament Psalm of David. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Why did they marvel? They weren't looking at something splendid like I was last week. Why did they marvel? Because these young men, Peter and John, in their early 20s, fishermen by trade, rough, ready, country bumpkin sorts, totally uneducated and untrained, were standing before the religious leaders of their day and telling them they'd got it wrong. And telling them that they knew God better than they did. Amazing. Can I have the next slide, please? It's a bit like Wayne Rooney going to the Vatican and declaring amongst all the cardinals and the Pope there and saying, look, guys, I know God better than you do. And they're going, what? This is not an assertion against Wayne, by the way, that uneducated, untrained. But yeah, it's just that, what's the thing of a popular figure that wasn't necessarily known for his faith in God? But yeah, it's just like that. Can you imagine that confrontation? Of course, one of them would have to change their kit, one of them would have to wear a way kit. But you know, can you imagine that confrontation? They would marvel if Wayne did that. What? Who are you? I'm going up an octave or two. Who are you to do these kind of things? What gave them such confidence? And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What was it about being with Jesus that changed these men? Well, so many things. I haven't got time to even touch on it this morning because Jesus is incredible. When you spend time with Jesus, you know that great things start to happen in your life. But some of the words that Jesus spoke over them were incredible. We'll look at some in a minute. And not only did he speak these incredible, powerful words of destiny over them, but his promises proved true. He did come back from the dead and show himself to them. He promised he would pour out the Holy Spirit, and he did pour out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and they were overwhelmed by the love of God. He did back up their prayers. So when they laid hands on the sick, they recovered. That lame man before the temple gate was healed in the name of Jesus when they asked. It wasn't just empty words or rhetoric that Jesus has put into their minds, but this was reality. Life-changing stuff that gave Wayne Rooney the boldness to stand before the Pope and the Cardinals to say they got it wrong. You need something, a rock to stand on if you're going to do that. And they had this rock to stand on, which is what Jesus did and said among them for the previous 3 years. Can I have another? There's another gratuitous photograph I took last week. Looking back up Helvellyn with the sun shining. Because that's one of the things that Jesus said over. One of the first things, if you read the Gospels, one of the first things Jesus spoke over his disciples, over his followers, just like this, he said, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Kindy. "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." And I meant to say to you guys, actually, you are the light of the world, Van Rienens. And it's in God's heart. And you may think this is in your purposes to go back to Africa. This is in God's heart and God's purposes that you're going back to Africa. And I was so thrilled to hear you share what you shared, Jane. Because that is the reason God is sending you back to Africa. Because there's been a transformation that's happened in you guys, which is so strong that they will take note that you have been with Jesus. People will marvel at you. They will marvel at you and will take note that you've been with Jesus. And I want to say to you that God is sending you out there to bring times of refreshing to people. You're going to meet a lot of people living in dry places, but you are to bring times of refreshing to them in the name of Jesus. God has anointed you to do that. You have everything you need to do that, and God is backing up everything that you prophesy, everything that you pray into people's lives. God is with you. And I saw pictures of desert around you blooming. We sung earlier about that grace and love like mighty rivers being poured out. And there's grace and love that flows through you as a family like a mighty river. And this is going to be a sign to you. You're going to actually see wilderness areas, actually see little barren parts of land bloom under your care. But that's a picture for what's happening in the spirit. So bless you. So, yeah, you are the light of the world, Jesus says. Let your light shine before men. Later on, he says to them, the Father himself loves you. He introduces them to God in a very intimate way. It's not just me that loves you, guys. You know I love you. But the Father himself loves you, he says in John 16, verse 27. He teaches them some wonderful things. The greatest command, love God. The second greatest command, love people. He teaches them it's all about love, this thing that he's here for. The reason God made the world was for love. What God is looking for is not religion, but love. That this whole world will be populated by people that love one another and love him with all of their hearts. What a beautiful place that would be. And he says in John 14, verse 12, whoever believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Another great thing to have spoken over you. Imagine if you're being trained up by a guru or by somebody you look up to who's mentoring you, who you admire immensely. And they turn around to you and say, you know what? You're brilliant. All the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do, but you're going to do them much better than me. And Jesus said that to his disciples. God declares that over you and me. And then he sends them out and he says, preach good news. Go wherever you go, tell people good news. There's a God who loves them. Heal the sick. sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, he says in Matthew 10, verses 7 to 8. And then he goes on to say in John 14, 13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. He says, you know, you fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. I hope most of you do. You mothers, you know how to give good gifts to your kids. I know most of you do. How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? You see, guys, we hear a lot about radicalization these days, don't we? It's happening in Afghanistan and other places like that. In these training camps where they train people to hate. They train people for war. I've seen it in Nepal. I've seen a Maoist uprising in Nepal. I've seen that where a few older men are leading an army of teenagers. They're radicalized to hate the government and to bring down the government and to bring a change. You know, I've met so many Maoist commanders who are just 18 or 19 who have told me they've killed police officers, they've ambushed police stations and bombed places. 19 years old. Maoist commanders. They're radicalized at a young age. Some of them have come back. And that's the dark side. People can be trained to hate and to kill. But also, we can be radicalized for love. We can be radicalized to love and to heal, not just to hate and to kill. That's why I like being in a place like River. We don't consider ourselves to be religious here. Some of you are just your first time amongst us. You know, we don't consider ourselves to be religious. We consider ourselves to be a family of love with a Heavenly Father who loves us. Who loves the world, who loves everybody. We often say it's all about love. We don't see God as a distant deity who must be appeased and obeyed. That's not our view of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father is one who's full of compassion towards us and full of good towards every man, woman and child on the planet. So we aim not to be religious, but to be a family. Guys, you know, as parents, you have an awesome responsibility. An awesome responsibility to Lion King clips in one day. How good can it get? You know, and the thing is, what are you going to declare over your kids? What words are you going to declare over your little ones? Because there are many voices in this world trying to declare things over us. Which ones are we going to listen to? And parents have a loud voice over their kids. You know, many voices compete for the ears of your kids, but I want to tell you as parents, you know, we have the loudest voice. Use it. Declare some of those high callings over our kids, just like Mufasa did over Simba. He declared that one day he would be king. That one day he would rule. And those words were important to that young lion. That little later on, that young lion left the kingdom. He left it because his wicked uncle, Scar, persuaded him that it was his fault. His father died. And then he didn't come back because he was in shame. He lived under shame for years and years and years. And then one day he came back. One day he came back. And he remembered the words of his father. And when Nala, his girlfriend, asked him and said, why have you come back? He said, Nala, this is my kingdom. And if I don't fight for it, who will? Nobody will, he said. If I don't fight for it, no one will. This is my kingdom. If I don't fight for it, no one will. Now I want to take us back to creation. Next slide, please. And the one after. I want to take us back to creation. The story of in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I want to be clear. The first chapter of Genesis is not science, okay? It's not science. God had no reason to tell us how things worked. He knew he'd given us brains. He knew we'd work out how things worked. And he knew we'd enjoy working out how things worked. So it wasn't to tell us how things worked. But what, if it wasn't to tell us about science, about how God did it, what was it to tell us? Well, it declared some amazing things over us as people. Number one, it declared over us our identity, that we are made in the image of God. We are made like, to be like God. To reflect his glory here on earth. And it declared destiny over us, that we are made to rule and to husband the earth, to care for it, to bring out all the good things that it has in it, to make it to be the place he intended it to be when he made it, to make it beautiful, to make it bear fruit. That's what he declares over us in the first chapter of Genesis. And he spoke this in order to draw the very best out of us. He gave us a high identity and a high calling in order to draw out the highest possible things out of us. It's a better story than a story saying we're created by accident. A random collision of a few molecules over a period of time. And, you know, I don't care how God made the universe, but the fact that God made me in his image is important to me. Because it gives my life purpose and meaning and dignity, which a random collection of molecules can never have. Can the next slide, please? And he's declared over me a destiny. Jesus said, I only see what my Father doing. And one of the things I see my Father doing is mending broken things. And that's why I believe with all my heart that he's called us to be menders of broken things. So where we see pain, we bring healing. Where we see loneliness, we bring love. Where we see depression, we bring hope. Where we see conflict, we bring peace. Where we see want or lack, we bring generosity. Because that's what the Father does. That's what we're called to do as caretakers of this world that he's given us. That is why when I heard the story of that guy in my son's nursery 8 or 9 months ago, that's why I actually took my heart in my hands and offered to pray for him. He could have laughed at me. He could have just said, well, you must be joking. You're ridiculous. But that's why I offered to pray for him, knowing that there's a God who mends broken things, who wants to get involved. Can I have the next slide, please? And I want to finish here. Because you can't see it, but there's a picture of a man and a boy walking together there on the left in front of the ocean. A father and son walking together through the earth. And this is what God declared over the disciples 2,000 years ago. What he declared over man when he made him in the beginning, he declares over us today. I've made you in my image. I've made you to rule in the earth. I've made you to be a mender of broken things. Will you help me make this place what I intended to be when I made it? Will you help me bring heaven to earth? Will you help me bring healing and wholeness, love, joy, peace? Will you help me bring these things as you walk through life? That's the challenge to us this morning. That's the challenge I want to leave us with. So can we just maybe bow our heads and pray? Because I said that the Father loves to speak words of destiny over us. And this morning, I know the Spirit is here to speak words of destiny over people again. You may never have prayed before, or you may be regularly used to praying. I just ask you now, just to say, to quietly, silently even, Father, what do you want to declare over me today? And listen to the thoughts that come through your head because your Father is speaking. Our Father in heaven says to us, you are the light of the world. Even greater things than I, you will do. Ask whatever you will in my name and I will give it to you. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Feed the hungry. Give a hug to the lonely. Bring heaven to earth in those ways. Represent me here. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for your love towards us. Thank you for revealing to us your love, that you love us as a father loves his children. Thank you for declaring those words of destiny over us, Lord Jesus. And this morning, there may be some who have never actually known the love of God, never actively chosen to follow him, who want, if he does exist, want to get to know him better. And if that's you, if that is you, I'd like you to raise your hand, because I know there's a God in heaven who wants to bring times of refreshing to your life this morning. And if you know the Lord, and you're feeling a bit weary at the moment, and you feel like, I need times of refreshing, then I'd like you to raise your hand, because the God of heaven is here this morning to reach down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just want to quickly pray for these guys, Lord Jesus, who raised their hand. That today will be a turning point, Father, for them, a watershed moment, that they will know your love breaking into their lives in the name of Jesus, that they will know times of refreshing coming upon them, that they will know your love breaking in again, Father, on their heart, bringing joy and peace and hope, and they will see the circumstances they need changing change. You're the God who loves to give us our heart's desire, Father, and I pray for these guys that they will receive their heart's desire this year, Lord Jesus, before 2012 is out, Lord God, the things they've been waiting for, they will receive. Because our God is generous, and you say whatever we ask for, you'll give us. And I'm praying for them today, Lord Jesus, that you will meet them with times of refreshing this year. Thank you, Lord. Amen.